and how, you know, how important that is. Before I do, I want to ask a question. How has Jesus loved you? In your own life, in your own world, how has Jesus loved you?
First thing that comes to my mind is just, you know, he went to the cross, and I think that's the most important thing that he's done for me is allowed me to put my sins behind me and move on with my life and not be burdened with the guilt and all of the weight that I had carried prior to learning what Christ did for me.
Okay. So he died for me and he's forgiven me? Okay. What else?
He came and was an example.
Okay.
Gave us a way to the Father and put your complete trust in him.
Okay.
No one else you can really trust in.
Okay. He, gave us access to the Father, and we can trust Him, okay? What are some other ways, in some practical ways?
Well, no matter what kind of person we are, there's still... I mean, we're real confident that there's love there.
Unconditional.
Yeah, there you go. He said unconditional.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, no matter how we act, He loves us. You can now put underneath that religious term, unconditional. Okay, how else? I've always, since I was in grade school, written on a slope. How else has Jesus Christ loved us? That's plenty. Look over to Ephesians 5. I'm going to pass the... Sorry, go this way. That's the basket there. Ephesians 5:21. I don't think you can start talking about how to love our wives without coming to this passage. And there were parts of this passage I remember back 15 years ago I put in my vows that I made to my wife. Ephesians 5:21 through 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. What kind of response do you get from reading that?
think, I guess what comes to mind is just the, you know, we think, well, it's, think about all the things that we argue about as spouses and, you know, the imperfections that we have, and we think, you know, how can you love unconditionally mm-hmm. when, you know, the other person has so many faults? Mm-hmm. It goes both ways, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably the hardest. And when you think about the comparison, you think the church was really, really messed up. Mm-hmm. You know, and we are. I mean, as humans, we really are very, very hard to love. But he did anyway. And I think that's a, you know, really something to keep in mind. In, you know, in your day-to-day relationship, it's that no matter what's going on, that you can have that kind of love to work through.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else?
I've always been struck by the, you know, the courageous, brave thing to do, you know, the dying for your family, which I think about it a lot, but I would do that. But then that's the real brave and courageous thing to do. But what about when you're, you know, it's something really minor? That's the struggle more than, would you die for your wife? Absolutely. Okay, would you, you know, take the trash out and, you know, all those other things that she expects of you and, you know, do your part around, you know, those little things and really give her the respect she needs. Forget dying for her, you know, that's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But all those other things that happen, you know, every day, that's the tougher things.
Okay.
I've just been struck by
that. So what I was trying to say too, it's like, you know, in marriage, there's all these things that you strive for, fairness and equity and, you know, in a partnership, but that's not the relationship that's alluded to here. It's total sacrifice in the face of unfairness and sin and imperfection, and that's really hard.
That is hard. I guess I've thought a lot about that, trying to put some things in words. Also, I haven't been able to, but I think you did a good job of, you know, we always strive for fairness and equity in any relationship, especially with our wives, and, you know, we're going to treat them right, we're going to try to, and they, doggone it, they better treat us right. If they don't treat us right, doggone it, we're not going to treat them right. That's kind of the way my mind thinks, but that's not at all what it's supposed to be. And first you look at what, where Paul says, you know, love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, he has set a standard for us that's really tough to live up to. Because here's the way Christ has loved us. You know, no matter how I act, he's going to love me. He's forgiven me. He died for me. You know, again, the died, that's the heroic thing, but that probably is not going to happen with each of us. Okay? And that's, in a lot of ways, that's easier. I think in the back of my mind, that's probably not going to happen. And it's the day-to-day stuff that's the difficult part.
The more applicable way to think of that is to die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, we can easily say, oh, well, that's, I can do that as a Christian for Christ, but to die to your own self-interest in a relationship is a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us would say that our wife is what we thought they would be when we married them. They'd say the same thing with us. We're not at all what they thought we would be when we married them. And some of us, you know, some of us are difficult to live with. And our wives still have to love us. And that really is not a whole lot we can do about that with this class. But I have to say that before I can say this next part, because somebody might listen to this. Our wives aren't the wives we thought they were going to be. You know, a lot of ways they're much better. In a lot of ways, you think, boy, if you have ever thought this, and you don't blink an eye or anything, but I'll assume we'll all, you know. If you knew all you knew about your wife, would you have second thoughts about marrying her? I think all of us would say, yeah. And you don't have to say a word. I'll be the one getting in trouble here.
Because you said there are 7 days, just I said about marriage.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's a little easier. There are some days you think, why did I get into this? And for the reasons are all different, but, you know, I think it happens to all of us. But hey, look how we were treated. And so that's the standard that God wants us to have, is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah, there's things about our wives that we don't like. We're supposed to love them anyway. Sometimes they'll treat us in ways that we think, what did I do? You know, and there's times of the month that they treat us in unfair ways, and why did I get into this? But what Jesus would say is, love them anyway. Love them anyway. Because you know what? They're loving us anyway too. And it's not a thing about equity. And especially as males and being leaders, I think there's more of a responsibility on us, doggone it, to love them despite how they sometimes will treat us. And, you know, they're not always going to treat us that way. You know, they sometimes...
Because I think God made... I think God made women that when they are treated with respect and with love, then their natural reaction is to do the same. I think even more so. Not that that's why we would do that. Mm-hmm. I agree, we have a responsibility, but I think God made women that they really respond incredibly to love and respect. I just think He made them that way. And, you know, their reaction, that's not why we do it, but their reaction, I think, is incredible. When they are shown love and respect and real care, that they respond, in more than we would, even expect.
Any response to that?
Well, on the downside, I think that goes both ways. I think that on the positive side, Jeff says that's awesome, but I think it can go just the opposite, too. Yesterday, I was in the inner city, and I'm looking at these little black girls. And, you know, you can't help but just see, at least this is what I saw, that these girls are 12, 13 years old. And, you know, they just don't look the same as the girls that we see at that age in our homes, in our areas that we live. And I think that because of their exposure to wherever they're being exposed, at school, at home, on the streets, you know, it's having just the opposite of what Jeff is talking about. Mm-hmm. And that can be carried on possibly through an entire life unless they're able to come to
them. Vince, I see that. I'm sure those of us who work with people, I see Tim Manning, he's been here, see this a lot. You know, it's just an extension of what Jeff said. I think one of the differences between men and women, girls and boys, I mean, women have a profound need for affection. Girls do. But I don't have girls in my house. I have girls for patients. You know, and the girls that don't get affection from their fathers, or girls that don't have fathers, they have a tendency to go find affection other places, and that's the source of a lot of trouble in our society, the source of a lot of my patients, I might add. So, I guess, but that thing carries on throughout life, I think. I mean, I just think the driving need for affection never stops.
Which comes real well in this class here, as far as how do we love our wives, one way is by giving affection. And if they don't get it...
I guess it also comes natural for most of us to sort of be more objective and unemotional in these sources and deal with affection. That, you know, once we tell our wives we love them and show them, then that should have checked that box, move on. So that's the typical male response, and I guess it's impossible to overestimate a woman's need for continued reassurance with affection.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
Could you say that statement a little louder and a little, so we can hear it?
It's impossible for a man... I may rephrase it to be more accurate, because I think women don't have this problem. This is being recorded.
Yeah.
It's impossible for a man to overestimate a woman's continuing ongoing and never-ending need for affection and reassurance of affection, separate from sex. How's that?
There you go. A little more. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. It's also impossible for a woman to overestimate a man's tendency to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
in the sense it's being recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's an ongoing. Yeah. I guess we all have to struggle with that.
Yeah, and the way God made us all different, sometimes I think, why? You know? But that's what makes relationships interesting. And just the whole male-female thing there. And which makes it even always a challenge for us, you know, with how do we love our wives? You know, and there's so many different factors that are in there that are obstacles to get us to forget about how we really need to love our wives.
Well, the answer is in verse 29, because it says, the comparison with the body, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, I think sometimes we think of our relationship as, you know, we get married, we're done with that. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like your body, you've got to nourish it
mm-hmm.
every day, three mm-hmm. times a day at least.
Yeah.
To keep it healthy.
Yeah, that in Ephesians 5, it kind of puts a little more, you know, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he defines a little more about that. One thing is, as I read through this, I just listed the responsibilities of a wife, the responsibilities of a husband. The responsibility of a wife was to submit and respect. You know, there's not a thing we can do to make them do that. And we can't make them respect us. We can't make them submit to us. But the only way we can do that is by loving our wives as Christ loved the church. As he said there, he gave himself up for the church. We're supposed to love as we love our own body, kind of like what Todd said. And I don't know if I'm reading a little more into it than there, but then the next section talks about leaving your parents and cleaving to your wife. You know, so I kind of, you know, even getting all the distractions out of there. You know, so husbands or guys, when it comes to if you have to make a decision between your wife or your parents, some people have a difficult time, but it should always be with your wife. It should always be with your wife. And that can get real complicated in different issues. I don't mean to get into that, but there's a lot of times when those distractions are there as far as loving our wife. And, you know, we got our parents or we got in-laws, all that gets involved in there. But it should be, you know, loving your wife, and that should be what comes first. What distracts us from loving our wife? We know, you know, they're tender. They need affection, you know. And what are some things that distract us from that?
Everything,
okay.
Everything that's tangible and task-oriented.
Okay, everything tangible and task-oriented.
Because I know I'm a very task-oriented person. That's mm-hmm. maybe a very male characteristic. And that always seems to crowd out the things that are intangible,
mm-hmm.
that are not something you can say, these are the things I need to do to get this done, mm-hmm. and do them and then check it off.
Okay.
Those are the first things that blow out the top in my pictures and other stuff.
Okay.
I think, well, I often get distracted in the assumption that my wife must enjoy the same things that I like. You know, like
yeah.
last Sunday, you know, watching a football game or something. That was a great day. You know, honey, wasn't this wonderful? And you know, sometimes I don't ask the right questions or try to figure out what the heck it is that she needs. Just because
mm-hmm.
I'm having a good time, so
mm-hmm.
she must.
Yeah, forgetting to do like different things. That's a good one. Especially this time of the season. Anybody else have any other?
This is kind of on the light side of this. Angie sometimes, she'll say to me, if you really love me, you'll paint those bricks on our fire. I'm not going to paint those brows. But I really do love her. And I think that's kind of a joke that she
yeah.
does to me sometimes. She'll do that. She'll say,
Yeah. That's called manipulation. We'll come back to that. Keep that thought, and we'll come back towards the end on the just different languages of love that we're going to talk about. Abs. This was a midnight thought last night as I was going through some of this stuff to kind of help us remember. Some obstacles that keep us from loving our wives comes down to abs, okay? And I don't know what, this part of the muscle?
Yeah.
This part of the muscle?
Stomach.
Oh, the stomach, yeah, that's right. Abdominal. I'm not into weightlifting. I know, I'm not surprised. I don't understand. Okay, just think of abs. Okay, the first one I want to talk about is stress. So much of the time, the stress of a job, stress of finances, the stress of
kids,
the stress of house projects, those types of things will really keep us from really focusing on the needs of our wives and the need for, you know, communicating our love to them. Y'all have any, does that relate to you? You know, just and then how do you do it? How do you deal with it? Let me share that's why we're all here. A story, this in the past 2 weeks, this was, you know, God really revealed this to me in a strong way. It's not often I have awakenings. Usually, and I wrote this down, I thought it was kind of humorous myself. It's brought to my attention more than as an awakening. And then a lot of times, the awakenings come because something else was brought to my attention. And I won't say who brings those things to my attention. I was, weird story, I was doing some drywalling, doing some mudding, and I don't probably mud the way Mike Hope muds. And so I was up mudding, and then I go barefoot now because I get it everywhere. So I don't want to, it's easier, I've learned it's easier to wipe it off my feet than wipe it off my shoes. So I'm up there barefoot. So then I come downstairs and I got some more joint compound on me. So I find a rag in the shower and I get it and I kind of wipe down my feet. And then I think, okay, so I wash the rag. I'm going to put it back up. No, I don't need to put that back up there. And so I thought, well, I put it down the clothes chute and I thought, what if Susan gets stuck in the shower without her wash rag? And in stressful situations, in insensitive situations, I would have thought, she can deal with it, and move on. But then I realized, oh man, she's going to be in the shower by herself. Somebody's going to be there, have to get out and go get a wash rag. You know how we've all had to do that with different things. And I thought, well, no, I need to get that and put it in there for her. And then it really hit me that, how often do I do that? I just go on and ask, she can just deal with it. That I really don't care.
How often do you never even think about that?
Yeah, or I don't even think about it. And this sounds kind of silly, but for me, it was really something that really helped me to see, and probably because it was brought to my attention some ways that I have been acting. And I've been stressed, I guess, over the past 9 or 10 months with, you know, some different things. And just really made me see that I really have not been loving my wife the way I need to be loving her. And, you know, different things have gotten away, but there are no reason. There are no excuse. And how many times I've just jerked a rag and not even cared about her. And that's just symbolic of so many other things that may have happened in my life. And how she just, you know, puts up with that. And how, as a husband, I have not cared for her enough to do some little things like go to the closet and get a rag and put it up. And just think of that as just a symbolic act that really represented so much of my life. And I hope that I can change with some of that. So the first obstacle that keeps us from really communicating our love to our wives is really stress, and it comes in so many different ways. Another one is busyness. And it's hard to disassociate these two together, really, but you know, you've got, you know, the business, you got the work, and then you've got to go to the football game, and then you've got to go to Matt's soccer game, and then you've got to go take him to a friend's house, you know, just all the busyness that takes place there, just that we are so busy in our society today, and being so busy, We get pressed and we think, I just got to do this, I can do this, I can't do one more thing, and we don't think about what can I do? How can I love my wife more? How can I demonstrate that love? How can I communicate that love to her?
And when it's kids, I mean, take our family, for instance. I mean, every Friday night, Blake has a football game. Well, I enjoy that. Marion tolerates it sometimes, even though her son, is playing. She tolerates that. But for me, I'm like, well, let's go. And she's like, when it's cold and wet like it was Friday, she's, so that, to your point, Fred, I mean, I'm thinking she likes it. And she's adapting, and she's used to that because she doesn't have the choice, really, in our family. But I'm thinking that's an enjoyable evening for her, and I'm not sure that's always the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So busyness, another aspect of busyness is probably men can adapt better to busyness than women do. That may be too much stereotype, I don't know. But that's the case in my house. I can adapt to busyness more than my wife.
I know what you mean on that, because that's how it is in my house. Mm-hmm. A man is more busy than a woman, because they do less of things than we do. And we put ourselves out there to do more things,
Mm-hmm. And that's how we're tasked. But also, when we stay busy, we don't think of doing those things to communicate, our love to our wife, and they still need it during the busyness that goes on. Another one, amnesia. We forget about how God has loved us. We don't take the time to think about that. We forget about the things we love about our wife because we stay so busy. And sometimes it's good just to think, why did I marry this girl? Oh, I remember why I married her. Kind of just continue in your mind is to play those tapes and the things that you just really appreciate, the things that you really love about her. We forget about those things. We forget about the benefit. Now, this one is a little more selfish on our part. We forget about the benefits of expressing our love to our wives. Makes for much more peace. Makes for good sex. Much, much better sex. Let's move on. So the amnesia that's there. Now, another one is bitterness. sometimes we get so into a mode, and we get so busy, and we get our feelings hurt, or she's not doing what we feel like she needs to do, but we just keep going, we don't express it, and it turns into bitterness. And that bitterness can be a major obstacle in expressing our love to our wives. That's I think a real serious thing, especially with the busyness and especially in the, we have younger children, we all have probably children at home, and that's a real busy time, and we don't take the time to express our complaints to our spouse, and then it can really turn into contempt, the criticism, the contempt, the defensiveness, and to really some stonewalling. In fact, those are four things that just a long study was done by a guy named John Gottman that really saw that when you get to the stonewalling, then there's more of a chance of a divorce than a marriage healing itself. So bitterness can be something that's really, really tough. Now, another one that I couldn't put up here that I just thought of, it's a C, so it doesn't fit into abs. I could probably fit it in somehow in one of those, but it's confusion. And it just, we forget, we're confused at how the woman works, how they think, how they're wired, and it's just when we get confused about that, we just kind of forget it, So those are some obstacles that I've thought about as far as that can keep us from expressing our love to our wives. Real quick, something if you were in the marriage class, this is kind of stuff I did there. Gary Chapman wrote a book, Five Languages of Love, and what he does, he talks about how, we receive love in different ways, and a lot depends on how we're wired. And those five that he came up with are words. Number one, words of affirmation. Number two, quality time. Number three, physical touch. Number four, receiving gifts. And number five, acts of service. If you haven't figured out your wife's primary language of love, you need to figure that out. You really need to. First, words of affirmation. Just saying to your wife, you appreciate, you know, and being more specific, you know, I appreciate the fact that you, and whatever, filling in the blanks, and always just affirming her, you know, throughout the day, throughout the week. Next one, quality time, just spending time together. You know, sometimes you express your love by just stopping the things you're doing and just kind of being there with them. I don't think you can have quality time and quantity time. If you have the quality time, you got to have some quantity also with that. Third is physical touch. And women in general, you know, love the non-sexual physical, you know, touch that they can receive. Number four, receiving gifts. And just kind of a little gift here and there. Number five, acts of service. So as you look at those five, what would be the top two that you say your wife would be? Now, mine, receiving gifts, is at the bottom of the list for my wife. She's just, part of it is the way she's made up, being very frugal. And, you know, go out and buy her roses. They're not practical. They die. My wife's very practical. It's not, that wouldn't happen. She wouldn't get all teary-eyed if I brought her a dozen roses. She wouldn't get teary-eyed. She'd say, how much did you spend on those? And then she'd get tears probably. My wife, acts of service. My wife would appreciate me doing more around the house. Anybody have heard that one? cleaning up after myself. But also just cleaning up in general. Those are some things that if I do more of those things, I think she will feel the love that I would have for her. Quality time. Probably quality time and acts of service are the things that are the top primary claims of love for my wife. So what are they for you? I think what you need to do is figure that out. And it would be an important way, you know, to communicate your love, the appreciation, you know, for your wife and how to love her. You can read those questions to kind of help you as far as trying to figure out the primary love language of your wife. Loving our wives is very important for us. I think we need to really look at that and just try to see that as an aspect of our relationship that we really need to focus on. And now, loving our wives isn't as hard as communicating. That's what I meant to say. Communicating that love is sometimes difficult. There's so many different things that go on in each of our lives. So many dynamics of our relationship. And so it's difficult to figure out sometimes, but it's something that as husbands, we must figure out. And the best way to figure out is just sitting down and talking to her. Take this list here. And just say, you know, which of those would you say mean more to you? And just trying to figure some of that stuff out. And it's something that as the leaders in our own homes, I think we need to take the lead in love. Directing and kind of taking that on ourselves instead of most times without our wives just kind of take that on. We just kind of sometimes grunt. Yeah, all right. If I change my mind, I'll tell you. You know, the joke of the guy that wife said, you never tell me you love me. Well, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. You know as you know, that doesn't work. So.
Are we on this topic 2 weeks from now, or are we?
The plan was to move on to something else.
Can I make one sentence? And then
sure.
There's a quote, new, end quote, discovery in brain science that I think is applicable here, which may sound strange to everybody, but I expect everybody in this room has been accused of not paying attention or ignoring their wife or not remembering what they said to you. There are differences in the way men and women's brains are wired. You know, that you actually made this, everybody's known this sort of for a long time, but there are definitive differences. And the one that's the most prominent is that men are better at focusing on one thing and focusing on it until it's done. Women are better at doing multitasking, as it is. They can do multiple things at once and hear multiple things at once and pay attention and process multiple types of information at one time. And we cannot. And women don't understand sometimes we cannot. So if the football game's going and the phone is ringing and the baby's crying and all that, and then they say, I need you to do whatever for me, we don't hear it.
And it's inconceivable to me, to them, that we cannot, because they can. And they can process multiple things at once better than we can. And so then that gets transferred in their mind to, he doesn't care, he didn't listen to me. So there's a, so there's some things, and there's a lot of detail on this. There's some things I think if we all know that we really aren't wired the same way, then it helps. And so some of the people that have done work in this area recently are recommending that to wives, that when they have to tell their husband something, to make sure he's looking at them in the eye and the TV's turned off, and then they say it. Otherwise, the man doesn't remember it. And these things are unfortunately true about us. We are inferior in terms of our ability to do multiple things at once, and it's also the way we're made. And, you know, I actually almost took a picture of one of the women that work in the epilepsy center with me. Rob knows her, Susan Arnold. I walked into her office one day about 2 years ago, and she was talking on the phone, feeding her baby, and doing a procedure, reading an EEG, all three things at the same time, and then, you know, making sure it was all working. And you know, there isn't a man that can do that very well. Do all three things. You know, we can feed a baby, or we can talk on the phone, or we can, you know, and then she can do that and talk to me at the same time. There are certain things that we cannot do as well, and then when we don't do it, it gets misinterpreted as we didn't listen or we didn't care or we're insensitive. So,
so we have some scientific.
Once you learn about that, you realize that that's the reason for a lot of disagreements.
Doesn't make any difference. But.
Yeah.
So if you know it, it's true, then
right.
You can sort of.
Right.
When our wife goes, she's got a one-track mind, we can say, you're absolutely right. Shh, could you quiet? I'm watching television. And we can say,
I don't think that's the implication.
Dr. Trevathan said that that's okay. That's just the way we are. Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, well, next week we won't have class. The week after that, Dave Weil will be teaching on finances. And that last week that we meet, I don't have anything scheduled for that time for that reason. There'll be some things we may want to talk about. That would be one thing. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and show us how we can love our wives better. Show us how we can be more lovable. Father, thank you for giving us our spouses and just help us to treat them as queens, to treat them with sensitivity and to love them as your son loved the church. Bless us now as we go into for our worship together. Father, I pray that we have many visitors here, many that are supposed to be here. Bless Chris as he shares with us how he worked through him up in New York. Thank you, God, for something to pray.
Amen.
Not a peace, Fred.
Yeah.
Not a peace.
You know, he's just going to be
a little bit. That is better, man. It's the other side.
She does not have a peace.
She does that.
At all.
So this is our brain. If you say a word,
is he here?
No.
No, he's over in Carlisle.
He
camped out by himself.
Guess what?
Called me from a campfire last night. He didn't get anybody's
email. Say the same words to him. It immediately gets processed in multiple parts of the brain at the same time.
And he's like, well, let me check this out.
Areas of memory that relate to.
I said, well, call me in the morning. So he called me in the morning. He said, well, 6:30 would probably be okay.
It's probably much more
so we went to your house for
Jeff's. He said,
well, since we're meeting at Jeff's, he said,
like,
that'd be okay.
Christmas.
I said, well, I'll check with Jeff. I'll call you. We'll be out here.
6:30 yards. Great. Okay.
When I cooked these things, and this person ate it, but they didn't like it, and Yeah. It's much more complex.
Yeah.
And so the connection of things that to us are unrelated and to them are, is it, you know, sort of, you know how they bring things up and you go, why do you bring that up?
Yeah.
Well, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's all this stuff.